Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett in Detroit, James Salinas in Denver, Wes Reynolds of the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas. It's week 11 of the NFL season. Plenty of action going on in the early slate of games, including one of James Salinas's survivor picks, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, they're out in front, James, so you'll survive, at least for right now. As you mentioned earlier during one of our breaks, it's can the contestants survive as well as the team? Wes Reynolds in the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas, give us an update on what's happening right now in the National Football League.
Yeah, Cincinnati in the end zone on the last drive there to what we thought would be to tie the game up. Joe Burrow to A.J. Green from 5 yards out, but Randy Bullock misses the extra point, so currently 7-6, the WFT leading the Cincinnati Bengals about midway through the second quarter here, so not much real change in terms of the in-game, pretty much a similar price to what we saw in terms of pre-flop at kickoff. Houston now up 14-10 on New England. 4 minutes to go left in the first half. Houston -1.5, 53.5 your current total, and no change in the score at Atlanta, New Orleans, 6-3. Atlanta now 1.5-point favorites, 43.5 your current in-game total at BetMGM. And Baltimore did convert the two-point conversion. Looks like they had a touchdown. It was ruled short, so they had to try it again. So J.K. Dobbins in from 2 yards out, and also Lamar Jackson to J.K. Dobbins for the two-point conversion. Baltimore Ravens now up 14-7 on Tennessee. 5:12 left to go in the first half.
Good start for P.J. Walker, despite the interception. 10 of 15 passing, 120 yards. He does have that one pick, but the Panthers are up in that game against the Detroit Lions. And if you also take a look at the Ravens up on the Titans, poor passing so far for Lamar Jackson, just 4 of 11. Any surprises for you, James, so far in the early going?
No, I think more so it's really going according to form. I think maybe the fact that in Philadelphia, I mean, in this case, the weather's been so bad, and we've talked about Philadelphia and Carson Wentz's propensity to hold the football too long. Maybe not really much as a surprise here. I think most games, from the way that I was looking at them, kind of going according to form right now.
Yeah, for me, it would be a little bit.
Yep.
Philadelphia, Cleveland, two turnovers for the Eagles, the absolute difference. Cleveland with that defensive touchdown on the pick six, but absolutely outgaining Cleveland, 173-108. But I actually thought, and look, still a lot of time left. Game's not out of reach by any stretch, but I did take the Eagles here, and I thought, okay, this is the time to come in. Maybe everybody was a week early when they came in against the Giants, and now they're a little bit healthier. And just as we said that, I believe it was Jason Kelsey that walked off the field. We will have to get an injury update, but he was walking back to the locker room. So this is a team that can't stay healthy, even though they're probably as healthy as they've been since the start of the season. But 2 minute warning now in Cleveland, 7-0 Browns.
Let's take a look at the winless Jets and the Los Angeles Chargers. The Jets are without Sam Darnold. They'll start Joe Flacco, who's 2-for-14 in his last 2-for-12 in his last 14 starts. But he did play well in a 3-point loss to the Patriots, threw for 262, 3 touchdowns and a pick. Chargers unable to close out close games, 3-16 in close games decided by 8 points or less under Anthony Lynn. Now, I listened to the Megapod this week with Gil Alexander, Mike Palm, Todd Wishneff, and special guests, our very own, yes, indeed, James Salinas from Denver. And usually I listen to the Megapod while driving. Luckily, this week I was not listening to the Megapod while driving because one of James's picks, and a shocker that nearly floored me, I found myself on the floor later. Someone woke me up and said, "What happened?" I said, "Well, James picked the Jets. He picked the J-E-T-S Jets, one of his picks in the Megapod." Chargers laying 9.5, James, with a total of 47.5. I was shocked in that pick for you.
Well, and I've added on to it. I got a 10.5 out here, too. I took it.
you doubled down.
Yes, you know where I've stood with the Jets all season long, and I know that. But this is obviously not a backing of the Jets. It's more so this is a numbers play. Sometimes, a lot of times, I'm looking at matchups when I'm selecting which side I'm going to take when it comes to whether it's contest or playing these games outright. But in this case, it was more of a numbers play. You're getting the 8.5 in the contest. Now I'm getting a much better number at 10.5 as far as the side goes to bet. In this case, though, it's looking at the Chargers, just wondering where is this team continually week in and week out. This is a team that they're showing up, they're competing every week, but they can't finish games. They blow big leads, second half, fourth quarter. This team is just, they're still learning how to win, but they're not learning. They're having to learn in real time, and they're not finishing these games. And I think that's the biggest difference for the Chargers, the fact that they're just this big of a favorite. They haven't shown me anything that says that they're all of a sudden now going to be, and I get it, it's the New York Jets. They've been one of the worst teams in the league this season. But the other thing with the Jets, too, to consider is, you know, there is a competitive pride. And these are teams, it's very hard to go undefeated in this league, and it's also hard to go winless in this league because these teams, and they are professional players, they are competitive players, and collectively as a team, it's not a good team when you're talking about the Jets. But I think on the defensive side, that's really where I'm leaning on, is defensively, we know what Greg Williams is going to do. They're going to be very aggressive. They're going to show a number of different looks at the rookie quarterback, Justin Herbert. And I think we've seen Herbert. He has the ability to make all the throws down the field. He has a very strong arm. Big kid, stands very tall in the pocket, but also likes to hold on to that football. Doesn't want to check things down. Doesn't want to just throw the ball away. He wants to go for the big plays and be the home run hitter for this team. And sometimes that could be to his detriment there, making bad decisions. So I suspect they're going to do a number of different fronts to try to confuse the young player here. And in this sense, I'll take the 8.5. And now here in Colorado, bet the 10.5. Take that ugly. Take, like Wes says, go where the stink is, and it doesn't get any stinkier with the New York Jets.
Yeah, I agree. It's absolutely Jets or nothing here, because if you look, the Jets probably should have beat New England on Monday night 2 weeks ago. They didn't get it done. They lose by 3. Probably the bye week at that point was the best thing to happen to them, because what could have happened is the Jets are probably like, hey, we should have had these guys, and then you feel sorry for yourself and you wallow in your own pity, and then you go the next week and you lose inevitably again, which they've done all season. So getting the bye week, I think, was good. The Chargers are clearly the better team, and look, you look at their record and if you watch their games, you're like, they're better than a 2-7 team. They should be a lot better, but they find ways to lose games, and that's why they're where they are. So you wonder if that's going to affect a team going forward, where it's like, we should be a lot better, like where they feel like this is a lost season now because we're 2-7. We probably could be 5-4 and still in the mix for a potential wild card berth, but now we're essentially going nowhere. Our coach is more than likely at the bare minimum going to be on the hot seat. We found a quarterback going forward, but you wonder how that's going to affect this team's mindset for the Chargers. And then to lay this big of a number, I know they covered it a couple weeks ago in this spot against Jacksonville, which made me a little leery of it because I did like the Jaguars side that day, even though the Jags did have a lead in the second half and were easily covering. Then all of a sudden, 2 minutes later, they were out of the game. But the Jets, I mean, when you're 0-9, you do have a competitive pride. You do not want to go winless in this league. You're going to at least give max effort here. And I'm interested to see what Greg Williams does with this young quarterback, Justin Herbert. What we've seen out of Herbert, we know he can throw the deep ball with relative aplomb. But can he run that, you know, steady offense where he's got to hit the underneath guy and just make the smart play and just put the ball in play and not necessarily go for the home run? And Greg Williams, you know, at this point, 0-9, I mean, why not take every risk you can, bring the house all the time? And I think that's what he's going to do with Herbert today. And I think the Jets more than likely do keep this close, playing with pride. And maybe they feel like they have at least a little bit of momentum, even though off that loss, it's like, hey, we were right there, fellas. We should have won last time. Let's not take it for granted. Let's go out and let's meet the intensity immediately. So if anything, too, I kind of like the first half as well. If you have a full game position, maybe split it first half and game. You're currently getting 6.5. You're not getting 7. And I'm guessing 7's probably not going to show because there'll be enough support to keep it lower. But if you can find it for the first half, and even at 6.5, I like the Jets.
So, James, and all kidding aside, though, it is a teaching moment for novice bettors across the country where betting is becoming new to their market, in that you don't like Adam Gase for obvious reasons. You don't like the Jets, obvious reasons, their record against the spread, everything about the Jets. But in this situation, when you do a situational handicap and you get into the situation with the Jets, it's a good area, it's a good spot for you to set aside your subjective issues with the Jets and put money down on that team because it is a wise bet or there is an advantage there for the better.
Yeah, and it comes down to looking at the numbers. Sometimes you're betting teams, sometimes you're betting numbers. In this case, I'm not betting either team. I'm betting the number in this case. I suspect it will be a close game because neither team is very good. But like Wes was talking about, the mindset of the Chargers to where they just continually find ways to lose, that wears you down as a competitor, as a professional, to where you just get into those games and you know that it's close. And if it does happen to be close, where is the confidence level going to be for the Chargers if, let's say, it is a one-score game in that fourth quarter, based on their history, not only this year, but in years past under Anthony Lynn, not figuring things out. And so much of that, to me, comes down to preparation. And we see these games with the Chargers where they're not making key plays, and players got to make plays, but it's also the conditioning of what happens during the week, preparing for in-game situations, clock management. I can go back to so many different scenarios, how this team is butchered games left and right, especially with the clock management. Think about a couple weeks ago. The Chargers were playing the Raiders. They're down one score, and they had about 4.5 minutes left, last drive for them, 4.5 minutes left and 3 timeouts, and it came all the way down. They did drive the ball, but they expended the entire clock. They expended all of their timeouts as well, to where they're having to try to make last-second throws and fade throws into the back of the end zone because of the lack of time management. Those kind of things add up over time into losses. Hence, that's why they're 2-7. That's why I'll just, in this case, bad teams, go where the stink is. I'll take the number plus the 8.5 in the contest, plus 10.5 now. And I love Wes's analogy with the first half as well, kind of flat. Keep in mind, too, I like the Jets plus the 6.5 in the first half. One last thing, their leading tackler for the Chargers, linebacker White, he is not playing today either. Sometimes those playmakers on that defensive side, hard to fill, especially when they're making plays from a tackling perspective.
Chargers 3-16 in their last 19 games decided by 8 points or less. Well documented Anthony Lynn's trouble finishing games. One of the bedrocks of Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo's basketball program. You mentioned tough players, or players play, tough players win. Chargers may not have enough tough players to close out these games. Let's take a look at the Packers and the Colts. This is an interesting matchup at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. If the playoffs started today, the Packers would be the top seed of the NFC, but still, of course, a long way to go. Last week, Green Bay survived the challenge at home from Jacksonville. They won but did not cover as 13.5-point home favorites. The Colts in first place in the AFC South of the whipping Tennessee last week on Thursday night. Now, Colts quarterback Philip Rivers, we have well documented his issues with throwing the ball and his propensity for interceptions, but in 3 of the last 4, he has a passer rating north of 100. Now, Indy features a top defense, are giving up just 290.4 yards a game, and the second best pass defense of the NFL, giving up just 198.7 a game. James Salinas, the Colts laying 1.5, the total in this one at Lucas Oil Stadium, 51 in the hook.
You know, I didn't play either side of this game. This is going to be more of an in-game play for me because I struggled on both sides looking at, you just talked, I haven't been on the bandwagon for Philip Rivers for a couple of years, but these are the kind of games where he can actually make some throws because of the soft defensive nature, that zone coverage that the Packers run a lot. Rivers can find zones. He can be accurate with the football. He just can't throw the ball deep down the field anymore, but he is still very accurate with those mid throws, those moderate throws. He can throw between the tackles and sometimes on the right hat, on the correct hash, he can get it outside as well. But in this case here, and the other last piece too with Green Bay, doesn't apply consistent pressure at Rivers, but I don't like the fact that the Colts have really struggled to run the football, but that defense for Indianapolis I think is going to make the Packers one-dimensional here. But I don't want to go against Aaron Rodgers in this case where, yeah, they were very flat last week playing bad weather, really cold and windy in that game at Lambeau playing Jacksonville. I think we've seen that with teams week in and week out, playing these bad teams, in particular franchises and teams like Jacksonville, where Jacksonville is going to play, they're going to play hard week in and week out, but is their opponent, in that case, I think really it was a sleepwalking game for the Packers. I suspect they're going to give a much better effort this week. But from this case, I can make a case for both sides here. Hence, that's why I'll lay off and just look at in-game.
I actually did make the case for both sides, and I try this a couple times a year. I don't do this regularly, but what I did is I took the Colts on the money line at minus $1.20 just to win the game, and then early in the week when it was 2.5 and there's still some twos out there, I tease Green Bay up to 8.5, thinking, okay, maybe I can work a middle here, and I usually can pull these off at least a couple times a season. Hopefully today is one of them. I just thought that Green Bay, another one of those popular plays, a very popular underdog. The perception is that they're the better team, but the market in terms of the odds makers, I think, have been higher on the Colts maybe than the bettors have been. And if you look, the Colts got moved to a favorite against Baltimore a couple weeks ago, didn't get it done. Thursday night at Tennessee, they took the money, the sharp money, and absolutely slaughtered Tennessee. So I think the Colts do get the win here, but I thought maybe on the teaser asking them to win by two scores was a little much.
We will talk contests, Circa Million, and the Superbook contest when we return on Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's time for you to get into Quick Picks. Play the daily sports parlay game with the highest limits and biggest payouts every week of the NFL season. Quick Picks keeps it simple with daily matchups and over-unders of the best players from all your favorite teams. Not living in a state with legal mobile sports betting for you to play? No problem. Quick Picks offers legal parlay action in nearly 30 states, including New York, California, Florida, Massachusetts, Texas, and Illinois. Visit VSiN users. You can sign up for Quick Picks right now and get a 100% free deposit bonus up to $100, and you can use PayPal so you can be confident that it's secure and legal. Legal for residents in 28 states. Must be 21 or older. Go to quickpicks.com/vsinbonus to find out more. That's quickpicks.com/vsinbonus for more information. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. From Detroit, I'm Mike Sennett. James Salinas is in Denver at the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas. It's Wes Reynolds, and the contests are ongoing. Circa Million and the Super Contest. The top five picks from the Circa Million: Falcons at +4.5. Now, these are contest numbers at Circa. Dolphins laying 3.5. The Packers +1.5. Chiefs laying 8, and the Patriots -2. In the Super Contest, the top five most popular picks: Chiefs laying 7.5. The Falcons at +4.5. Dolphins a 3.5-point favorite. Packers a 1.5 underdog, and the Eagles +3.5. And I know that, James Salinas, you have a entry in the Circa Million, and I know that Wes Reynolds also is playing. Let's go to James first. Your thoughts on the most popular picks and your picks for the week in the Circa Million.
Well, and Wes and I have talked about this before. You kind of, if you want to climb that ladder, you don't want to be on the side of the consensus, because then whether you're behind, or sometimes we see these consensus plays don't always pan out from week to week, where you're looking at more teams not covering than they do cover. In this sense, looking at, I mean, I picked a few ugly dogs this week. So from that perspective, I'm not on the same side or against some of these other plays where I did play. We talked about the stink. I'm on the stinky side of a number of teams, including the Jets this week +8.5, and also the Cowboys, and we'll break that down here soon enough within this hour. Looking at the Cowboys, I suspect there's going to be some shakeup within that within the survivor pool too, because that's the top play is the Vikings. I kind of like the Cowboys, not only +7, I kind of like them to win outright this week too.
Yeah, James, I'm with you. I have Dallas in pocket at a better number than the contest number. That was also a contest play for me. I think the bye week was probably the best thing to happen for these guys. And now you're getting Minnesota absolutely priced to the moon. A lot of people like the Bears on Monday night as that home dog. Minnesota gets a cover, very ugly game. Cousins gets that Monday night winless streak off his back. So now you're getting the Vikings priced to the moon. And this is a spot where I felt you could come in with Dallas. So I agree with you on that one. Philadelphia was my only early game, and they're currently down 7-0 at the half, -1 for the second half at BetMGM on the Philadelphia side, 21 your second half total. But Philadelphia, Dallas, I did take one favorite though that ended up being a consensus, and that was Kansas City, just because I wasn't sure where this line was going to go with all the COVID concerns on the Raiders side. So that was one kind of more, I guess, public or whatever play you want to call it. Tampa Bay I used on Monday night. I just thought you're kind of getting them low off two shaky national TV performances, despite getting right against Carolina last week. And the ugly dog I played, not as big of a number as James played with the Jets, but I did play Denver at 3.5 in the contest. I have it 4 in pocket. Just for Miami, you know, kind of a different territory. Now they're starting to get the media attention. Now they're starting to get all the pregame shows wanting to, I don't want to say come in, because they're doing it all by Zoom and by Skype now, like we are for pretty much everything nowadays. But all of a sudden, Miami's getting those features on the pregame shows. And when that happens to a team that's not used to it, oftentimes you see them lay an egg in that spot. Now you got to hold your nose. Like I say, go where the stink is. This is absolutely holding your nose on the Denver Broncos, but I did as much. And James is right on the contest plays. I mean, it's going to take 70 some percent to win the thing, but to get in the money, you probably got to be in the low to mid 60%. Right now I'm in the high 50%. So I kind of got to zig when everybody else is zagging if I want to pass some entries by and at least cash out in this thing.
Circa Million, the leading record, 38-12, 76%. And in the Super Contest, 77%, 37-11-2. Top pick in Survivor this week at Circa, the Chargers, followed by the Vikings and Steelers, the Chiefs, Dolphins, and Saints round out the top six in Circa Survivor. We'll preview the Cowboys and the Vikings when we return. This is Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So many games every weekend. VSiN is here to help you keep up with the latest lines and all the smart bets. And now you can get an amazing holiday deal with 25% off an annual subscription. Bet with confidence every weekend using all the tools we have to offer. 24/7 video streaming, point spread weekly, daily email updates with best bets from every show host and guest. 20% off the VSiN store, plus every betting guide we create, including the college football hoops, college basketball guide, the college football guide. We do a NBA guide as well, all kinds of stuff there, which is coming later this month, the college hoops guide later this month, because college hoops is coming. It's the gift that keeps giving year-round. Start improving your sports betting IQ today. Visit vsin.com/subscribe and save 25%. That's vsin.com/subscribe and save 25% on an annual subscription. We're back on Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike centered in Detroit, James Salinas in Denver, and Wes Reynolds of the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas. Wes, get us updated on what's happening in the NFL. I know we have second half lines on the board.
We do. Philadelphia, Cleveland about to start the third quarter. Philadelphia was a 1-point favorite for the second half. Detroit trailing in Carolina, 7-0. Detroit -3.5, 22.5 for the second half. Pittsburgh Steelers, 17-3 up on Jacksonville. Steelers started a little shaky, and Mike Tomlin and his bunch have had a tendency to do that against an inferior team. But so far, 17-3 3, minus 4, minus $1.20 for the second half at BetMGM. 23 juice to the over, minus 20 in Pittsburgh, Jacksonville. Baltimore leading Tennessee, 14-10. Baltimore minus 2 for the second half. So that pretty much makes it the same price it was pre-flop at minus 6. And 24 to the second half total. Cincinnati 9-7 over the Washington football team. Washington football team minus a half for the second half, 22.5. And mild upset of the morning, really, is the Houston Texans over the New England Patriots, 21-10 Texans over New England. New England minus 4 for the second half, 24.5 juice to the over at minus $1.20. One game still left in the first half. New Orleans currently leading Atlanta 10-9, about 40 seconds to go in the first half.
The resurgent Minnesota Vikings hosting the Dallas Cowboys at U.S. Bank Stadium today. Mike Zimmer's team opened the season 1-5, but after the bye week, they have won 3 straight games. Prior to the bye week, the Vikings allowed 32 points a game on defense, 417 yards of offense per game, and a quarterback passer rating for the opponent of 110.4. Since the bye week, the Vikings have shut things down defensively, giving up just 18.3 points, 323 yards per game, and an opponent passer rating of 80.4. The Vikings schedule does break favorably down the stretch. Just 2 teams with a winning record in their final 7 games. In the next 3 weeks, the Vikings will play teams with a combined record of 6-22. It could be 7-5 when they visit Tampa Bay in week 14, but as we know, don't count your victories before their hats. James Salinas, Minnesota laying 7 today with a total of 49.5. And this is a game and that when we talked earlier, you said you didn't feel quite good about with the Vikings.
No, I don't. I think this is looking at 7. I see 7.5 out here now. I've got a number of 7.5s, and that the number keeps climbing. So does that money line keep climbing. I can get Dallas if I suspect this spot right here at Dallas plus 280 on the money line to win this game outright. To me, this feels like a good spot for Dallas. As crazy as that sounds, as bad as they've played so far this season, there still is a lot of talent, especially on that offensive side of the football for the Dallas Cowboys. Andy Dalton is coming back now. He's been in and out. Obviously, that hit that he took against the Washington football team back a few weeks back, man, what a vicious hit that he had to sustain through, then had COVID issues on top of that. So I'm not sure from that standpoint what he's going to look like coming back out onto the field to play. But when it comes to the Minnesota Vikings, it wasn't that long ago, just a few weeks back, where they were talking about how they need to blow everything up. Let's get rid of Zimmer, all these different things as far as the franchise was concerned. And now a couple wins, even like Wes was talking about earlier, that was really an ugly game at Chicago last week on Monday night. This is not a team that I'm looking to back, especially at laying 7 or 7.5 for that matter. I just feel like with Dallas getting the bye week, the one thing that we have seen with Dallas, there was some dysfunction going on early in the season for them when it really came to the defensive side of giving really effort, and you know, finger pointing is going on in that locker room from players towards the coaching staff. There's some players that aren't there anymore. I don't know if that's cleaned up house or not. Maybe, I suspect not entirely, but from an energy standpoint and a competitive standpoint, we've seen much better efforts out of the Cowboys the last few weeks. Now they've had a bye week to really get some more practice time to get acclimated to. Where is this team going forward? Yeah, it's still, I mean, it's the NFC least. Everybody's still available and in line to be able to win that division at this point. But I think for the Cowboys, now getting themselves a little bit healthier on the offensive line and getting their mind right, having this bye week here, to now a Minnesota team maybe feeling a little too good about themselves and hearing how good they've been because they've established their identity as a running football team with Dalvin Cook, although he's had a lot of touches the last few weeks, continually pounding the football. That's kind of been their recipe to success. Run the football, keep Kirk Cousins out of having to throw the ball 30 plus times a game, which they've done. In this case, I'll take the ugly dog here, plus the 7, plus the 7.5, and I think I'm going to sprinkle a little bit on the money line, plus 280 for the Cowboys to win outright.
Yeah, ditto for me here, James. You look at perception, market perception is always the most fascinating thing about betting in any sport, especially in the NFL, because it is such a week-to-week proposition, because it's not like basketball where you're getting 82 games a year in the NBA or something like that. It is literally, you get these dramatic shifts just on the basis of a couple results. Keep in mind, this Minnesota team was only laying 3 at home to Detroit a couple weeks ago. They did get the cover, and they've covered 3 in a row. They covered as a road road favorite at Chicago, really outplayed Chicago. Chicago's offense just in absolute disarray, and we've covered that in previous shows here on Betting Across America. But now I think it's getting a little high at 7 and 7.5. I just think it's a little too much for this team. I think people kind of buying into the hype. Dallas has been kind of out of sight, out of mind with that bye week, which I think comes at the most opportune time, certainly for them to try to stay in that NFC least race. But the Ginger Ninja, Andy Dalton, comes back. And while Garrett Gilbert performed admirably against Pittsburgh, where they almost had Pittsburgh beat and had a chance to come back and get the win at the end, Dalton is the best quarterback of the three, clearly, that they have at this point. He's the most proven commodity. And I just thought that this line was a little bit high here. And I think Dallas maybe will be a little bit rejuvenated off the bye week. I don't think they're going to look ahead to that Thanksgiving matchup. They need to win this one to have any chance at the NFC East race. And I think you get a good effort from the guys from Dallas today.
Best bets this week, Scott Kellen, like the Cowboys at +7. Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM, continues after this on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. New BetMGM customers have a chance to win a $100 bonus when they place a $1 wager on any pro football team to score a touchdown. Sign up and use the bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of this offer. Get ready for showtime. Download the app today and use the promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on any pro football team to score a touchdown. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER, New Jersey, West Virginia. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett with you from Detroit. James Salinas is in Denver, and Wes Reynolds is in the VSiN studios in Las Vegas, in a chair that'll be occupied in a bit by Brady Cannon. And Stormy, she is at the Mandalay Bay, the Green Zone. That is coming up after our program at the top of the hour. But right now, Wes Reynolds, an update on what's happening in the National Football League.
Yeah, let's go to Cleveland first, Mike. Sack fumble there. Baker Mayfield sacked by Fletcher Cox. Alex Singleton with the recovery. One play later, Carson Wentz finds Richard Rodgers in the back of the end zone, 19 yards out. All tied at 7 now, 3 minutes into the second half in Cleveland. Adjusted price at BetMGM, 1.5 on the Browns, 32.5 your current total. One game at halftime, the last game of the first session to go to the half, that would be New Orleans and Atlanta. New Orleans -2 for the second half, 24 the second half total. Saints, by the way, up 10-9. At the half there. So only score we have so far in the second half would be that score in Cleveland, where we are now tied 7-7.
Awful low-scoring weekend or Sunday so far in the NFL. AFC rivals, Kansas City Chiefs and Las Vegas Raiders will meet tonight, Sunday Night Football at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Raiders, all kinds of COVID-19 issues this week. The entire defensive unit on the list and did not practice this week. If they have tested negative throughout the week, including today, they will be available to play. Now, the Raiders won the first meeting, outscoring the Chiefs 40-30. 32, and Andy Reid wasn't happy about the Raiders taking their team buses for a victory lap around Arrowhead Stadium. Andy Reid off a bye, 18-3. James Salinas, the Chiefs laying 7, total 56.5. In some spots, they've got the Chiefs laying 7.5.
Yeah, I suspect Kansas City will be able to return the favor when it comes to victory laps around Allegiant Stadium there in Las Vegas after this game against the Raiders. I think this there's so many angles for the Chiefs that set up for them to be able to come in and redeem themselves from the only loss that they had back earlier in the season against these Las Vegas Raiders. And I think from this perspective, you just mentioned it, number one, with Andy Reid off the bye. But I think from the standpoint that when you're the Super Bowl champions, everybody's going to give you their best shot. We know that. That's just how it works in this league. Teams want to test themselves and see where they stand. That's the barometer, who was the former champ. And I think with this, when you're that Super Bowl champion, there are a lot of distractions that go on. And this year, among all the distractions with new protocols in place for testing, everything else that all these teams have to deal with, Kansas City on top of that has to deal with being the champ and everybody's best shot. I think in this case here, Kansas City week in and week out is just trying to get through. They have their eye on the prize to repeat as Super Bowl champions, which they're fully capable of doing. But they're gonna moderate themselves. They're not gonna bring the best effort week in and week out like their opponents are. But in this case, they're gonna find ways and reasons to be motivated for certain games, division games like this against the Raiders, because that was their one loss. Not gonna be an issue for Kansas City as far as their mindset coming into this game, as well as I think on the other side. I just can't with the Raiders and all the COVID issues. We saw this a couple weeks back with their offensive line and the fact that they had to go into quarantine. Ultimately, the majority of those offensive linemen were able to come and play in that game against Tampa, but they weren't able to practice and they weren't able to prepare for all the different looks that we know with, say, Tampa Bay and their defense with Todd Bowles, all the different fronts, all the different looks that they're going to see. And there's something to be said for lack of preparation time on real time, being on the field, being together, having those practice squad players out there to give you those different looks. Same thing's going to happen here with the Raiders with that defense. A majority of those defensive starters were not able to practice this week. They were in COVID quarantine as well. I believe a majority of them will be active today, but from that standpoint, not having that practice time to prepare for all the exotic things that we're going to see some looks and some formations and plays out of Kansas City that we haven't seen before. This is just what Andy Reid does. Now, not only we haven't seen it, the Raiders haven't seen it. I just think it's going to be a tall order for the Raiders to adjust on the fly in this game. In this case, it was 8. I didn't play the game. It's dropping down to 7. So what I've done is I did do a teaser. I don't do a lot of teasers in the NFL West, but I did tease the Chiefs down to -1, and I did pair that with the Green Bay Packers +8.
Curtis Samuel from 17 yards out, a touchdown pass from P.J. Walker, now 14-0 Carolina over Detroit 11 minutes ago in the third quarter. Carolina -8.5, 33.5 your in-game total at BetMGM. Yeah, James, I'm with you. I also played the teaser on Kansas City. I did use him in a contest. Obviously, that's going to be the quote-unquote public or square play. I don't know if it's a square or a rhombus or a parallelogram. It's some kind of a geometrical shape, but I think that this is the good spot for Kansas City. I just think that, you know, this maybe is that line I like to use, that show 'em who's boss game, where, okay, the Raiders got us in Kansas City. Now we got to show them who the real deal is here in the AFC West. But there is some belief on the Raiders side in spite of all the COVID issues that James laid out just a moment ago. They're believing all of a sudden that they're a playoff team, and maybe they are, but this is, I think, a tall order here for a Kansas City team that I don't think is going to be looking ahead to that showdown, because had they maybe beaten the Raiders in Arrowhead Stadium, I would have thought, okay, this could be a decent spot on the Raiders, even though it's a road divisional game, because Kansas City, of course, has that big showdown with Tampa Bay, the young gun Mahomes against the old lion Tom Brady, which will certainly be a national TV game of the week game in the late afternoon session that following Sunday. But I did believe that really this was the spot for the Chiefs. Obviously, it's going to be kind of America's teaser play of the week, because everybody is going to have Chiefs in the teaser. So I'm sure sports books across the Las Vegas Valley and also across America would love for the Raiders to get the cover here and even the outright win and knock out all these teasers. So I am on the Chiefs. I know know it's the obvious play, but look, obvious plays are going to win about 50% of the time. So hopefully this is one of those 50%. By the way, we do have one score update. Cody Parkey, field goal good against his old Eagles mates. 10-7 now, 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. Browns -2.5, -$1.50 VIG at BetMGM. 34.5 your current in-game total.
The Chiefs, the top play in the Super Contest at laying 7.5, and the fourth most popular play in the Circa Million, laying 8 points. Chiefs 12-5 against the spread in their last 17 road games at the Raiders. Of course, that dates back to Oakland and quite possibly Los Angeles as well. So you've got that there. And also best bets, Drew Densick likes the Chiefs laying 6. Michael Lombardi liked the Chiefs laying 7.5. Brent Musburger liked the over at 51. You can get all of that information in your email daily and in Point Spread Weekly each week, vsin.com/subscribe. Let's take a look at the Monday night matchup with the Los Angeles Rams visiting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Rams can move into a tie for first place in the West with a victory over the Buccaneers after the Seattle Seahawks win over the Arizona Cardinals. The challenge for Jared Goff will be handling the Tampa Bay pressure. Tampa Bay, 120 quarterback pressures this season, the most in the National Football League. When he's under pressure, Jared Goff is his quarterback rating drops to 37.1. And James, the Bucs laying 4.5 with a total of 48 in the Monday night matchup at Raymond James Stadium.
Well, and not only is he going to have to handle that pressure from Todd Bowles' defense, he's going to have to do it without left tackle Whitworth. He's not going to be there. He's out for the season now. So, yeah, he was getting long in the tooth, but it's just his experience alone, and I think the confidence that Whitworth brings to that offensive line, that's going to be what's sorely missed, not only for this week, tomorrow night, Monday Night Football, but I think through the duration of the season, because we've seen that with Goff. When he is under pressure, decision-making is not his strength, and I think that's what we're going to see out of the Bucs. I like the Bucs in this situation. It's one of my survivor plays for tomorrow night, just to win the game outright. I haven't played the game yet. That number's kicking up to 4.5 out here. I may or may not play that side when it comes to that number, but I can't make a case for the Rams here. This is their fifth game having to travel out east. It's not a good scheduling spot, not only from the travel, but also sandwich spot between big game last week that they won against Seattle, and then followed by two division games the next 2 weeks, San Francisco and Arizona. So with this case, sandwich spot here. I don't like the spot for the Rams. I'm on Tampa Bay.
Lamar Jackson to Mark Andrews, 31 yards out now, 21-10. Baltimore taking the lead over Tennessee. 10 minutes left to go in the third quarter. Baltimore Ravens now -10.5 on the in-game at BetMGM. 50.5 your current total. James, we're in agreement here. I do like the Bucs here in this spot. And I think you're actually, even though the line is starting to tick up, you're still getting a little value on the Bucs, because what have we seen the last two times? Take the Carolina game out from last week. Bucks were life and death to beat the Giants on Monday night. Then they got blown out at home by New Orleans. But if you take the two games out that Tampa Bay has played against New Orleans this year, Tampa Bay is averaging 33.8 points a game, which would lead the league, 397.6 yards, which would rank fifth. Brady only completing 60% of his passes against New Orleans in those two games, but 67% against the rest of the league. I think you can buy low here on the Bucs here, and I think that this is a good spot for them against the Rams on Monday night.
For Wes Reynolds and James Salinas, I'm Mike Sennett. This has been Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Coming up next, The Green Zone with Brady and Stormy here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.